Daf is Daf Vav. So today is pretty much just a lot of Agata. Tanya has a ton of Agata throughout the Masechta, as we've seen, as we're going to see. Today is no different than that. So we take in the top four lines down from the top here. The Gemara quotes a Brice. We're talking a lot about rain, about Yoreh and Malkush. So now the Gemara tells us finally, what is Yoreh? What exactly is Malkush? So it says the Gemara quotes his Brice. Tanya Rabban, the Brice teaches us that Yoreh Shemoreh es Habrios Latiach Gagosein Lahachnis es Peyosein. Lasos kol tzarchem. Yoreh is lashon of morah, to teach, a lashon hara. It taught, it was a guide, it indicated to all the people that the first rain of the season came. It told everyone to go now, start tarring your roofs to make sure that there's no leaks, and to bring on your fruit that you're letting out dry all summer, and to do all the necessary needs as well. So that was what's coming to teach us. Rashi gives an interesting comparison, the lashon of Yoreh. Rashi, actually, that's the next Rashi, we'll get to that one. So then Davar Acha says the Gemara, another interpretation of the word Yoreh is Shemarva es ha'aretit. It fills up the ground, umashke at tom, and the water drips to the depths of the ground. Shenemar says in the pasuk talmeh rava, that the talmeh rava, the furrows of the burrows rather of the plowing rows would be full. Nachas gidudeha, it would be benachas, it would give nachas to everyone. Gidudeha berivivim to mugeda tzmecha tivarech, it's going to cause growing. So it's lashon of rava filling up the ground. So then the Gemara says another interpretation of the word Yoreh is Davar Acher Yoreh Sheyored Benachas. It comes nicely, it comes pleasantly. Veina Yored Bezap, but doesn't come angrily, doesn't come in a very strong way. Rashi explains here three narrow lines down. Sheyored Benachas, he compares it to Hachimashma. Yoreh Ka'odim Shemorah L'Talmid Benachas. It's like a way a Rebbe, a Mora, teaches his student Benachas, hopefully. It says in the pasuk, Divrei Chacham Benachas Nishmam, when the words of the Chacham and the Torah is taught in a pleasant, gentle way, so then they're heard. So that means Yoreh Benachas means a Mora, the rain comes Benachas. Alternatively, the Rashi suggests, Inami, Lashon Chetz, it's a Lashon of Chetz Yoreh, to shoot an arrow, Haholech B'yoshev, Eino Notil Lakan Lakan, it goes straight, and it doesn't go to this side, it doesn't go to that side, that's what it means, Yoreh Benachas, it comes Benachas, it goes in a straight direction. So these are different interpretations of the word Yoreh. So now the Gemara says, O Eino Yoreh, Ela Shemeshir Saperos, maybe it means to knock the fruits off the trees, Umashif as Azram, and to overflow the seeds, Mashif as Eilanos, and to overflow the trees. So this is a Lashon of Klola, maybe. Maybe that's what it means, the Lashon of Yoreh. And so the Gemara says, so Tamalomer Malkush. So Yoreh Malkush, it says in the Pasuk, Ma Malkush Lebracha, Af Yoreh Lebracha. As we're about to see, that Malkush certainly means a Bracha. So Malkush means Bracha, so by comparison, must be Yoreh is Bracha as well, and one of the first three interpretations, not the last interpretation. O Eino Ela, maybe the word Malkush, Ela Shemapila Sabatim, maybe Malkush means it brings down the houses, it's a very strong rain, Umishabes Ilanos, it breaks the trees, Umalasa Sakam, it brings up the locust, so maybe Malkush means Klala as well. Who says that? It means Bracha. So the Gemara says, Tamalomer, Yoreh, Ma Yoreh LaBracha, Af Yoreh Malkush LaBracha. No, since it compares it to Yoreh, a Yoreh must be a Bracha, Malkush must be a Bracha as well. So it's circular here, because which one is which? It's relying on each other. The Gemara doesn't really explain that. But then the Gemara says, wait a second. The Yoreh Gufa Minon. So if you're using Yoreh now as the source that Malkush must be Bracha, how do you know Yoreh should be a Bracha? Initially we said it's because it's compared to Malkush. But maybe Malkush is a Klala. So here the Gemara answers, Yoreh Gufa Minon. How do we know that the word Yoreh is for a Bracha? The Chassid, it says in the Pasuk of Yin Yoel, Uvnei Tzion Gilu V'Simchu B'Hashem Elokeichem. The people of Israel were happy, rejoicing with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Kinasin lachem es hamore letztaka. He gave them the yoreh letztaka, and the yoreh lachem geshem more umalkosh berishon, and he brought down the more malkosh, or the yoreh malkosh. So clearly, in this pasuk, yoreh and also malkosh, for that matter, is a lashon of a bracha. So now the Gemara quotes a brayse tani rabban. Yoreh b'marcheshvan umalkosh b'nisan. When do these events take place? So Yoreh, the first rain of the season, takes place in Marcheshvan, and Malkosh is a second type of rain that takes place in Nisan. So Ata Omer Yoreh b'Marcheshvan Malkosh b'Nisan. O Einu Ella Yoreh b'Tishrei Umalkosh b'Iyar. Maybe it's a month off than different than we had suggested. Tamal Omer b'Ito. It says Yoreh Malkosh. It says b'Ito. That b'Ito, it has to be in the right time, and the right time is understood to be in Marcheshvan and Nisan respectively. So then the Gemara says, Malkosh, another interpretation of what Malkosh might mean. Malkosh, Amar, we didn't say what it meant, we just mentioned that Malkosh is a bracha, but what do the words Malkosh mean? So we have a few interpretations here as well. Amar Rav Nihilai Bar Idi Amar Shmuel. Davar Shemal Kashiyoseim She Yisrael. It's something that removes the stubbornness, the harshness of a Klai Yisrael. It somehow inspires them to do tshuva and to fast and to give tzedakah. The need for the malkush, the need for that rain, is a part of a tshuva process. That was the understanding of this first opinion. Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Davar Shemimala Tfua Bekasheh. No, what it means is nothing to do with the teaching Klai Yisrael anything. Rather, it's an agricultural piece that it fills the tfua, because by the time Malkus rolls around Nisan time before Pesach, so the crops already begin to grow. And when it rains more and more, it makes it even more plush, the tfua. It fills it up, it fattens it up. It's a mimal, it fills a bekasheh while it's growing in its stalks. And b'masnisa, yet a third interpretation, Tana, davar sheyored al hamelilos v'akashin. No, it rains on the melilos, which are the heads of the stalks, and the kashin are other parts of the stalks. I don't know exactly how they interpret this in English, but again, it rains when the crops already have grown. That's the lashon of malkosh as opposed to yore. So now the Gemara quotes another braisa, Tana Rabbanan, yore b'mar cheshvan u'malkosh b'nisan, like we saw earlier. At omer yore b'mar cheshvan o'enu ella b'chodesh kislev. Maybe yore should take place first in kislev, not in cheshvan. Tamalomar bito yore makosh ma malkosh bito af yore b'mito. Has to come in the right time. The right time of the first rain should be in cheshvan, not in kislev. Tani idach, another braisa says yore b'mar cheshvan u'malkosh b'nisan. That's divrei Rebbe Meir, but chacham omer yore the Kislev. So there's actually a machlokas. When do we expect the first rain to come? Should it be Kislev or should it be Mar Cheshvan? So man chacham, who are the chacham who say that Yorah takes place in Kislev, not in Mar Cheshvan? Amar Rav Chista, it must be Rabbi Yosihi. The Sanya, the Brisa teaches us that Ezehi Revir Rishona, what's the time of when we expect the first rain to come? Bechira, the earliest time expected to come is Beshloshim Mar Cheshvan. The third of Cheshvan, that's the earliest of the Yorah. Benes, an average year, Beshiv above the seventh. Afela, the latest time we expect it to come is b'shivasar bo. That's all divrei Rebbe Meir. So his range of the rainy season, the yore, the first one is 3, 7, and 17. Rabbi Yehuda is a second opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'shiva b'shivasar bes mishlosh. He says no, the range is 7, 17, 23. And Rabbi Yossi, who is the opinion of the Chachamim, holds b'shivasar b'mer cheshvan b'esim b'shlosha and b'rosh chodesh kislev. He holds 17, 23, and then rosh chodesh kislev. So he is the one who holds that already in kislev we can still expect it. If it comes by al kislev, that's still within the range of when we expect the yore to come. So he's the one above who says yore takes place even within kislev. The chen haya Rabbi Yosi. Oh, that's what Rabbi Yosi would say. That ein hayichidim misanim ad shiagir rosh chodesh kislev. We're going to see very much part of this masechta is that when we fast, when there's a big drought, there's no rain. So what's considered a drought? How far after Tishrei is it considered a drought? So some say if already by the 23rd day, some say by the 7th day, 17th day, if Cheshvan doesn't come, that's already a drought. We need to start fasting. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you have until Aleph Kislev. If it doesn't rain until Aleph Kislev, then we have the Yechidim fasting. But if it rains Aleph Kislev, that's fine. We don't. That's the cutoff point. So that's Rabbi Yossi's shita. So then Amar Rav Chista, how do we pass in Halacha L'maisa, Halacha Rabbi Yossi, that we have until Aleph Kislev until we start getting worried and we tell the Yechidim to start fasting for the rain. Amemar Masni La, the Hadar of Chista, B'halishna, he taught this understanding, the statement of Chista, in a slightly different way. He said, and the Mishnah said, by the third day of Cheshvan, we start asking for the rain. That's the same Talmud to the Recha. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, b'shivabo, in the seventh day, which is how we paskin in Eretz Yisrael. And Amar Rav Chista, halacha, Rabbi Gamliel, we paskin like Rabbi Gamliel, that in the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan is when we start asking for the rain, is when we start saying same Talmud to the Recha in Eretz Yisrael. So then so that's different than what you said earlier. It wasn't the halacha of Rabbi Yossi about questions of fasting, but the halacha like Rabbi Gamliel in terms of when we start saying b'sein talamat levracha. So then the Gemara says, Kiman azla hadatanya, the following brisa, who is the author, who does this brisa go like? Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Geshamim, Sheyardu Shiva Yamim Zacharzeh, Atamoneba, Revi Rishona, Ushnia, Ushlishis. If it rains for 7 days in a row, we could count. We have the first rain of the season, the second rain of the season, and the third rain of the season. What does that mean exactly? So Gemara says this must be Kiman Ki Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is the one who said that the Zman of rain is 17, 23rd, and the first eventually. But he says from the 23rd to day 30, which is day one of Kislev, that would be 7 days. So therefore, you could count all Revi Shona and Shnia. And within 7 days. In other words, you have these different points, these time frames. of the first painting was 3/7/17. Then you had 17/20. Oh no, we had 7/17 and 23, and then you had 17/23 and 1. So what we're trying to say here is that when which of the opinions hold that there's 7 days between any of those zones, it must be Rabbi Yosi, because he holds from day 23 to Aleph Kislev is 7 days. No one else holds a 7 day range. So all we're saying here is that if it rains for 7 days straight, you've accomplished a midpoint and an endpoint. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yosi. So now the Gemara says yet again, Amr Rav Chista Halacha Rabbi Yosi. So here he agrees with Chista, like we said earlier, we pasuk like Rabbi Yosi that he has the latest time frame of the Revi'i Rishona, of the Yorah Rishona, just said on a different conversation here. So the Gemara then says, okay, we've established this statement. We had, there's such a thing called Revi'i Rishona, there's Revi'i Shnia, Revi'i Shlishis, which means there's a first rain of the season, there's a second rain of the season, and then there's a third rain of the season. So what's the significance of counting the first, second, and third rains of the season? So the Gemara says, what's the nafkamina? Bishma, I understand Revi'i Rishona. What does it mean we have the first rain in the season, the first man? That's Lishol. Meaning the machlokis is a third of Cheshvan the first time of the season, or is it the 7th or the 17th? That's going to tell us when you start saying V'sein Talmat L'Rachel. So that's what Revi'i Rishona means. So there's a nafkamina. Shlishis, the third Zaman, the relevance is Lisanos. When do you start fasting? Meaning if the third expectation of rain to come doesn't come by the third Zman, that tells us to start fasting. So again, the first Zman mentioned is when you start asking V'sein Talmat L'Rachel. The third one is when you start fasting if it hasn't yet rained. But what's the significance of the Shnia Mai Lamai? What nafkin? Who cares about the second review? What's that middle Zman mentioned by all three opinions? So the Gemara says, Amrib Zera, and the Gemara is going to suggest around four or five different suggestions what it means, the second review. So Gemara says, Amrib Zera, Le'inyan Lidzarin. Le'nidarin, in terms of Nidarim, the Tzan, the Mishnah tells us that going on to Amrib Beis now, that Hanod there, Adag Gisham. If a person says, I'm taking a nether, that something or someone is usher to me until Adag Gisham, that was his language, until the rains, the plural rains, the understanding is, Mishayardu Gishamim Ad Shetered Revi'a Shnia. So he has to keep the nether until the second Revi'a comes, until the second time it rains comes about. Rashi explains, Ad Shetered Revi'a Shnia, B'nedarim Holchen Acher Lashem B'nedarim. We know, when it comes to interpreting the Dharma and the people, the words people say, it all goes based on how people normally speak, what's common language. V'ein Koren Gishamim Lishona Ad Shetered Shnia. We don't say, oh, it's already so rainy. It's not until the second rain of the season comes we say, oh, we've now hit the point of Gishamim. So that's the significance of Shnia, the second rain of the season, in terms of the din of Nadar. Reb Zvid suggests something else. Reb Zvid says two lines down. Reb Zvid Amar, Lizesim, in terms of olives, what's the significance of olives? So the Gemara quotes a Mishnah in Maseches Peah. It says, Ditznan, Me'emasai kol adam mutarim beleket b'shichel peah. The halacha is that there are a few things that are called matnos anim. Matnos anim mean that they're gifts to the anim. That there's leket shicha peah, different types of corners or stalks of grain left in the field. They're forgotten, or they're collected, or they missed, or they dropped. And peah, the corners of the field, so the anim get them. But at a certain point, anim are like, I'm not interested anymore. And then it's hefker to everybody. Even non anim could collect them. So at what point can a non anim, a person who's not poor, collect the remains of the leket shicha peah? So what zman is that? So Gemara says, Mishayelcha Nemushos. We'll see what Nemushos mean in just a second. But they're seemingly older people, that's one shot. So we'll get back to the real definition. But just for now, when the old people have walked through the fields and they have taken what they wanted to take, everything after that is going to be mutter for everyone else to take. Bifperet Beolos, these are certain dinim of similar to Leket Shechapeh, but this comes to Anavim, to grapes. So anything left behind from these things, Mishayelcha Anim, Bekarim, when the poor people walk through the vineyard, after they've walked through, that anybody else could take freely. V'yavo, V'yavo, and then they could come. B'zeisim, when it comes to the Zeisim, Mishayterid Revi'ishnia. When can everybody take freely from the olive orchards? That's when the second season, second rain of the season comes. At that point, it's considered hefker to everybody, because no one waits that long to collect from the olive. So that's the din of Revi'ishnia in terms of the halach of Zeisim. So now the Gemara wants to just clarify, what do Nemushos mean mentioned in this Mishnah? My Nemushos, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Sabe de Azia Tigra. It's an old man who walks in a cane. So obviously they're going to be the last ones of all the Neem would go through field A and field B and field C. The ones in behind would be the older people. By the time the older people, they've cleaned out all the fields, once they've left, then it's open hefker for everybody else to take. Reish Lakish has a different definition. Reish Lakish Amar, Lakute Basa Lakute, gatherers after gatherers. What does that mean? So if you look at Rashi on 15 lines down, Lakute Basa Lakute, says Rashi, Ani Molech Beno Acharav, and Ani walks and he has a son walk behind him. Shemikan Ve'elech Poskin Shar Ani Mililkot. So they would have it as follows, that Reuven would walk and his son Shimon would be behind him. So that would be Lakita Bas Lakita. They would do kind of like a gathering after the fathers and sons all have left the field. So then it's open, a fair game for anybody else to come take whatever remains. That's the definition of Zvid. Again, the Revi Shnia's significance in terms of the Zaysim, when people could take from the these orchards. Rapapa gives a third significance of Revi Shnia. He says, Rapapa Amar, Kedei Lahalach Bishvilei HaRishus. That person is allowed to walk through someone else's property. So you're allowed to walk through someone's property. At what point do you have to stop? People's fields. Damar Mar, Mahalchen Kol Adam Bishvilei HaRishus, Achiterit Revi Shnia. Meaning I can walk in your fields until the second rain comes. But once the second rain comes, that means the things are starting to grow now. If I trample on your field, I'm going to prevent it from growing and ruining it. At that point, you have to stop walking. But when things are not growing there, in the summer, when things are not growing anymore, things are usually drying out at that point, you're allowed to walk, you know, on paths. But once it starts to rain, at that point, the second rain season, it would be usher because you're going to ruin any of the crops growing. That's the third significance of Revi Yishnia. The fourth and final significance of Revi Yishnia is Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. He says, Amar Levayer Peros Shvius, to burn, to get rid of, or perhaps consume, Bir Shvius is Machlokas. Does it mean literally to burn fruit of Shvius, or does it mean to get rid of it, to even consume it entirely? Whatever the definition is, a Bir Shvius, the relevance is the Revi Yishnia Lagabe Bir Shvius. How so? Ditzan, the Mishnah tells us in Masecha Shvius, Ad Masai Nenin Vesorfin Betevin Bekash. The way it works, before I read the rest of this, the different seasons, not all fruit and vegetations are the same in terms of Shvius, when Bir Shvius is. Bir Shvius depends, as we'll see in just a second, that whenever that food is no longer available in the field, that means you have to get rid of it in the house as well. So figs could be Hanukkah time, you know, pomegranates could be Pesach time, everything has a different season. So that's the significance. And so Rashi explained that, the Gemara rather explains here, Ad Masai Nenin Vesorfin Betevin Ubekash Shel Shvius. At what point can a person not benefit and must burn Tevin Shvius? In other words, when is Bir Shvius of straw and the like? Ad Sheterit Revi Yishnia. Once Revi Yishnia comes, that is this man where there's no longer Tevin and Kash, because any straw that's in the field is now ruined, so it pretty much doesn't exist in the field. That means anything I've got stored in my house must be burnt as well. My time, what's the basis? Why is that the Zman? You have to get rid of the Bir Shvius. So Gemara explains, to your animals, the domesticated animals that who live in your house and your farms, and the chaya, the wild animals that live in the fields. What's the drasha? So long as the wild animals could find straw in the fields, that means I could continue to feed my animals as I please in my house. Bebais. If there's no longer any of that food in the wild for the chayos, then kala levantcha minabais. I must get rid of any of the food left over in the behema, for my behema, my house, and that's when Bir Shvius kicks in. So again, the shir, the zman of Bir Shvius for kashim, for tevin v'kash, is Revi Yishnia. So we have now four different halachas that relate, that are depending on Revi Yishnia. So now the Gemara says, again, this is back to a more galata, the Gemara explains, first, why line down? So, Amar Rabbi Abahu. Rabbi Abahu says, "My lashon revia." What is this lashon revia? We're calling the rain revia. It's a strange way. Why don't we call it gishamim? Gishamim rishona, gishamim shnia. What's lashon revia? The Gemara has a fascinating point here. My lashon revia, davar sheroveya es akarka revia, is lashon of bia. A bia somehow that the rain is boil the karka. Kirav Yehuda, the Amar of Yehuda, Mitre Bala de Arahu, the rain is considered the husband of the land. There's some type of reproduction going on here. There's the mayim from above, the gshemim, and there's the growth, there's a birth of the seeds that are inside the ground are going into creating food and fruit. There's this relationship that's taking place. Latch Lashon Revia. Shenamar, it says in the pasuk, Ki kasher yerid hageshem v'asheleg min hashemayim, when the rain and snow come from above, v'shama lo yashiv, it doesn't return back there. It fills up the ground and it causes the ground to become pregnant and to give birth and to grow. That was the Lashon of Revi. Rabbi Abahu, Revi Rishona, So what's the shear? What's called Revir Rishona? So if it rains a little bit, is that called Revir Rishona? Some clouds come out and drizzles. What's the shear? What makes something significant enough to be considered the Revir Rishona? It's not just any rain. It has to be a measurement of how much rain it fell. So the Gemara says, Kadesha Teir Bekarka Tevach. If the rain seeps into the ground, a depth of a tefach, that's how much it rained. That's considered Revir Rishona. We could check off the box. Shania, what's considered Revir Shania now? How much rain do we require to be qualified as the second rain of the season? Kadei Lagov Basa Pichavis. If the ground gets so wet, so moist, so muddy, whereby you could take the mud and cover and make into some type of cover of a chavis, of some type of a jug, that indicates we've reached the shear of Revir Shania. So Amr Chisav Chista says, Gishamim, he has a different definition. He says, Gishamim Shiyardu Kadei Lagov Ben Pichavis. We know the pasuk says Vatzar Hashemayim Lo Yematar, that there's a curse that if we don't listen to Hashem, we're not going to have rain. So if you have enough rain that makes the ground dirty enough, muddy enough, where you could take the mud and fashion some type of a cover of a chavis, that's not Mishum Vatzar. That's a good rain. That's bracha. If it's less than that, even though it rained, when we say there's no rain, it doesn't mean there's no rain entirely. It means there's not enough rain. So if it rains less than that amount, that's still bechlal the curse of Vatzar. If it rains so much where it's muddy enough, where I could fashion some type of a lid for this chavis, that's not mishum v'atzar, that's considered a bracha of rain. Amr Rav Chisda says further, Gishamim Shayardu Kodem v'atzar, if it rains before the v'atzar, meaning before this man of Kriyashma, that's Ein Ben Mishum V'atzar, that's not a simen klala, that's a simen bracha. That's good for it to rain before his man Kriyashma. We'll clarify that in just a second now. What does it mean before his man Kriyashma? So Amr Bai says, Lo Amr, this was only said Ella, Kodem v'yatzar de urta, meaning of nighttime. If it rained before the shema of nighttime, in other words, if it rained during the daytime, that's not a simen klal, that's a simen bracha. That's a good thing. We want the rain during the daytime. Aval kodem v'yatzar de tzafra, if it rained before the kriyashma v'yatzar of the morning, in other words, if it rained at nighttime, that's actually not a good thing. Yesh behem mishum v'yatzar, that is v'yatzar, that's not good. It's not helpful if it rains at nighttime, apparently. The Amar Rav Yehuda bar Yitzchak, Hani anani de tzafer, the clouds of the morning, lesbu mashasha. That if it comes early morning, even if it rains, that's worthless because we don't, that's not a bracha. We want it to rain during the daytime, not early mornings. Dechsiv, it says in the pasuk, it says as a rebuke that Hoshea said to Klal Yisrael, Ma eseh lecha Ephraim, what should I do to your Ephraim? Ma eseh lecha Yehuda, v'chazdechem kanan boker, your chesed's like the clouds of the boker, I mean your chesed's worthless. You're like clouds in the morning, which are worthless, that's not good. So we see from the pasuk here, the clouds that come early morning, pre-dawn, before Kriyashma, is Mishum V'yatzar, and not to consider a bracha. So then the Gemara says further, Amar le Repapa l'abaye, v'ha imri intre, don't we have such a statement? That b'miftach bave, the person opens up the house in the morning, mitchin, he sees rain, bar chamra, a person who normally travels to bring his crops from place to place, moch saki yugunai, he should go to sleep. Why? If it rains in the morning, that's actually a good sign. It means it's going to be your plenty. He doesn't need to schlep around his stuff. There's going to be plenty of crop. Go back to sleep and let HaKadosh Baruch Hu do his work with the rain. So this is rain that's talking about early morning. You open the morning, you open the doors 5 o'clock in the morning, it rains. That's a good thing, it says. So Gemara says, Lokasha, there's no contradiction. It depends which types of clouds, which type of rain. In other words, the Katir Be'eve, if they're thick clouds, which means it's going to be good, heavy rain, that's a good sign. That's a Simen Bracha. That's when we say, if you see that in the morning, go back to sleep and let HaKadosh Baruch Hu do his work. But how, when we said above that, it's Mishum V'yatzar, the Katir Ba'anani, when the clouds are very thin and not very strong clouds and not strong rain, that's when it's considered a Simen Klala of V'yatzar. So Gemara says, furthermore, about statements of the rain, Amar Yehuda, Tava L'shata, it's good for the year, the Teves Armalta, when the Chodesh Teves, the Lashon of the Chodesh Teves, when it's an Amana, when it's widowed. Why? When there's no rain, it's a good sign. It's a good time when there's no rain. Why? Ikadami, some say, delo bari tarbitzi. That means this way they're not going to be any pits and any disruption of people trying to travel to Beis Medrash to learn in the Beis Medrash, because during the winter is when the long nights when a person is supposed to be learning. So that's why I'm sure if you look at Rashi, Rashi says four wide lines down, ikadami, delo bari tarbitzi. Osim mekomo shemarbitzi mem Torah, enam boros. So they're not a bore. A bore means a person who's empty, a person who doesn't know much. So a place where they learn a lot. If it rains, I can't get out at night. You see, when it's cold out, when it's raining, nobody wants to learn the Beis Medrash. When it doesn't rain, so a person will go to the Beis Medrash. So that's why it's a good year when it doesn't rain in Teves, because Teves is supposed to be a month of learning at night. So that's one shot. Then the Gemara says, Ikadami, Delo Shakil Shudfana, because agriculture point, somehow if it rains during Tevis, it could cause some type of, pestilence or whatever, disease for the crops, and that's why it's good if it doesn't rain during Tevis. So Gemara says, hey, is that really true, that we don't want it to rain during Tevis? But Hamar Rav Chista said, Tavo l'shata de Tevis menavta. It's actually a good thing when Tevis is menuvel. When it rains and the roads are muddy and dirty, it's a good sign when it rains. So there's a stira. So Gemara says, Lokasha, there's no contradiction here either. Had asa mitcha meikara, had asa mitcha meikara. In other words, when it had already rained in Cheshvan and Kislev, so I don't need to rain in Tevis. So we say, it shouldn't rain in Tevis so we could go learn. But had it not rained in Cheshvan and Kislev, where we need the rain, and then if suddenly rained in Tevis, that's actually a good thing. That's when we say it's good for Tevis to be minivalta. So then the Gemara says another statement in the name of Chista. Am Rav Chista, Geshamim Shayardu al Miktas Medina, but Miktas Medina lo yardu, if it rains on some parts of the country, some part of the nation, so that, and other parts it does not, that's actually Ein Bem Mishim Vasa, that's a good thing still. Ah, but this city, that half, the northern part of this country didn't get rain, don't worry, because the southern part who got rain, they'll trade with each other, sell to each other, and they'll work with each other as long as it's all within the same Medina, that's fine. Gemara says, really, that's good if it rains in one area, it doesn't rain in the other area, that's not V'atzar. Ain't, is that really true? We are passing in Amos, Vaksiv, Vigama Nochi Minati Mikemes Hageshem. I'm going to hold back the rain from you, about Shlosha Chodashim the Katzir, over the 3 months of the Katzir. Vimtarti al Irachas, I'm going to have it rain in one city. Al Irachas lo Amti, in another city I won't let it rain. Vichelka Achas Timater, and in part I will have rain, and the rest of the Pasuk says, Vichelka Asher lo Tamtir Leh. So again, this is a situation where it's going to rain in one city, not the other city. Vam Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Shen Leklala, and both cities are going to be cursed. Why? Because the city that gets the rain is going to get double the rain. It's getting the rain of both cities all in one place. That's going to be like a flood. So they're going to be over flooded with water. And the other city is going to have a drought because they have no water. So we see when it rains in one city and not another city, that's actually a simen klala, not a simen bracha. So how could Rav Chista say it's a simen bracha when it rains in one half of the country and not the other half of the country? And Gemara says, Lokashi, there's no contradiction. Had asa tuva, had asa kedimi baile. When it comes a lot to one city, that's when it's a klala. That's bad. That was a pasuk in Amos. When it comes according to the needs of that city, that's considered a simen bracha. Okay, so then the Gemara says, Amr Vashi Dekanami is also very precise in the pasuk, but the Chassid says, Timater. Timater means, Temakum Matar, that the place should be one of rain. It should be overflowed, that the place can be flooded with rain. That's when it's referring to a klala, when it rains too much, Shema Mina. But if it rains like it's supposed to rain, the adequate amount, that's considered a simen bracha. And finally, the Gemara says, after talking about all this rain and the droughts, the Gemara says, "Am Rabbi Bo, May Masai Mevarchen Al Gesham." At what point we say bracha when it rains? Mishe Yete Chasim the Kras Kala. So when the Chasim goes out to greet the Kala, that's when we recite the bracha. What does it mean, Chasim greeting the Kala? Firstly, it's interesting because it's so above Lashon of Roveya. So this is another point of this relationship of the Shemaim and the Aretz, the rain and the dirt. So what does it mean when the Chasim greets the Kala? So if you look at Rashi, last three lines of Rashi, first actually do the last three lines of Rashi. Rashi says, Chasim the Kras Kala, Sheyardu Kol Kach, so there's rain so much, Kishika Tipa Nefelas, when the rain, the drip comes down, the drops come down, Yotze Acheres Bolta Kinegda, another one comes right behind it, there's this, it's a heavy rain, that's a one shot, but according to this, the Rashi says, Lashon Acher, Sheshvakim Mekalchen Mayim, Shuk Mekalech Vezemekalech Kinegda. Now it's referring to when the marketplaces is overflowing with rain to all the drains, and when they meet from this one and from that direction, they're all meeting and overflowing with rain. That's what the Chasan Kala means. It just means a lot of rain. A lot of rain is meeting with each other, and that's a Lashon of Chasan Kala. At that point, we say the bracha. What bracha do we say? What's a bracha we say when it rains? Now, we don't pask in this way. The Ramah says the practice is not to say a bracha in the rain for whatever the reason is, but the Gemara does speak about such a bracha. So what is a bracha one says when it rains for the first time in the season? My mevarich, what is the bracha? Amr Yehuda Marav, Mod Manachnu Lach Hashem Elokeinu, Akol Tipa V'Tipa Shira Tolanu. That's the bracha we say. Rabbi Yochanan Misaimba, he says, Hachi Ilufinu Mali Shira Kayam L'Shadinu Rina Kamon Galav Chulei Ad until Al Yazvunu Rachmech Hashem Elokeinu V'Lo Yazvunu Baruch Rov HaHodos. That was a lashon of Rabbi Yochanan, and then Rov HaHodos. The Gemara says V'Lo Kol HaHodos, only most of them, but not all HaHodos. We should thank Hashem for all HaHodos. So Amar Rava Ema Kel HaHodos. That's the lashon we say. So there are different languages what one should say. And when Papa comes along, There are 10 places throughout all of Shas where Papa says that everyone's right when it comes to a Nusach HaBrach. He says we should do like all opinions. And for that reason, Rav Yashav once suggested that that's why he mentioned the 10 sons of Rav Papa after every single seam, based on the 10 places Rav Papa does the following. What does he do? Rav Papa, Hilgach, therefore, Nimrinu, L'Tervah, you should say both Lashonos of Kel Hodos, Rav Hodos, both those you should say. And Rav Yashav says, since Rav Papa brought Shalom li'olam, he brought peace to both opinions, he was Ocha, because learning brings Shalom the Olam as well, and therefore he was Ocha that his 10 sons are mentioned, connected 10 times. He does this throughout Shas. So we're not going to do a review today, but everybody should have a wonderful day.